Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read one verse this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. I think I told you yesterday, Paula 18, but it was verse 17. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, where Peter writes these words. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now you, later on, I would encourage you to read the context in which Peter gives these words. And I think when you do, you will see that I'm not outside the context in what I say to you this morning. Before I get to the body of my message, I will first say this. There are five absolutes found in this verse. Now, at least five. There very well may be more. But there are five absolutes found in this verse. These are things that I would refuse to debate men and women over. There are five absolutes found in this verse. There are some subjects of Scripture we may debate. For instance, was Noah a vegetarian before the flood? We may debate that. You know, and one or the other's true. You know, and we may stand and debate things like that. And, you know, you may realize you were on the wrong side of that argument and come over to the right side, but for the most part, that's probably going to make no difference in the state of your soul whatsoever. You understand what I'm saying? There are things we may debate over. We may disagree on. Did the seven who entered in with Noah, did they enter in because Noah, their husband, father, and father-in-law preached to them and they heard the gospel through him? We don't know much about that. We may debate over those things, Mason. Or were they with him in this thing from the get-go? Did God speak to them as well as he spoke to Noah? You know, we may debate over things like that. But there are some things in Scripture we do not debate over.
Yes, sir.
And let me just give you five things from this verse. One, there is a house of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
There is.
That's right.
Not there should be, might be, could be. There is a house of God.
Amen.
And the word simply means God's dwelling place. Now, if you know the New Testament Scripture, then you know where is God's dwelling place. Well, we know God's always dwelt in heaven.
Yes, sir.
But where does the New Testament speak of God's dwelling places being? Not in temples made with hands.
That's right. Exactly.
God Almighty dwells inside His people.
Amen.
There is, this is undebatable, this is absolute, there is a house of God.
Amen.
Number two, judgment issues forth from that house. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Judgment issues forth from that house. To try to give you something to help you grasp that. You remember there's a phrase used in the Old Testament at least a couple times. And everyone did that which was right in his own eyes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is not what this verse teaches.
You're right.
For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment issues forth from God's house. That's absolute. That's what it says. Number three, God's people are that house.
Amen.
It says it right here.
Yeah.
God's, this building is not that house.
No, exactly.
whether we are in this building or whether we're in my home or your home or some other building, when this group is gathered together, and as a matter of fact, even when we're not gathered together, we are that house.
Yes, sir.
God's people are that house. And they exercise judgment amongst themselves.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
They exercise judgment amongst themselves. Number four, God's people, His house, obey the gospel of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That is indicated in the text. Because there are those who do not obey the gospel of God, and where shall their end be?
Exactly.
Number four, God's people obey. Now I said obey. Yeah, we believe, but most people think believing is just acknowledging the facts, accepting the facts. No, it is obeying the gospel.
Yes, sir. Right.
Believing is obeying.
That's right.
Obeying is believing. If you believe but are not obeying, then you're not truly believing.
Exactly.
By faith, Noah being warned of God, what did he do by faith? He moved with fear and built the ark to the saving of his house.
Amen.
Those are not two separate things.
Nope.
That's faith in action.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Believing faith is obedient to the gospel of God. And that's the primary thing.
Yes, sir.
That's the primary thing. Number five. Those who obey not the gospel of God are not a part of God's house.
Amen. That's it.
I will not debate those things. If you disagree with me this morning, you're wrong. Because you're not disagreeing with me.
Yeah.
You're disagreeing with what God says through His inspired apostle, Peter.
Yes, sir.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. Penny heard the other night, or was told, or text, or I guess you can say text. Well, everybody interprets the scripture their own way. That's a lie.
You're right.
There are some.
Oh, yeah.
And they are called the house of God. They don't interpret the scripture at all.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it.
They look for thus saith the Lord.
Amen. That's it.
They don't care about interpretation.
Yeah.
They want to know what did God say.
Yeah.
And that settles it.
Amen.
People talk like that only when they have something in the forefront of their heart and mind other than obeying the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
I didn't say they were lost. I didn't say they were saved. I ain't for sure what they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them profess great professions.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems as though they have very little possession of what they profess.
Yeah, that's it.
Now with these five things in mind, and in light of today's baptism, Ryan, I'm preaching this message to you. But this message is valid for each and every one of us here this morning.
Amen.
And especially if you profess to obey the gospel of God.
Exactly.
So with these five things in mind, and in light of today's baptism, I present you with seven judgments. Seven judgments. Now, I know most people, when they think of judgment, they think of just condemning people all over the place. It may be that. There may be some who hear this message, whether right here this morning or on a tape some other time, that may be condemned by the very words that I declare from God this morning. I don't know. But I want to give you seven judgments. And that's the meaning of the thing. The word can mean condemnation, but it means to make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah.
Don't be wishy-washy. Don't bounce back and forth. Don't be double-minded. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways.
Exactly.
Now you're either this way or you're that way. Quit riding the fence.
There you go.
Quit riding the fence. Don't ride the fence.
Yeah.
You remember what I said about fence riders?
Yeah.
It castrates everybody who rides them. Now you take that as far as you want to take it. I want to give you seven judgments that are pertinent. They are valid for both new and old converts to Christ. This word presents hundreds of judgments.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Right? Hundreds of judgments. But I want to try to give you just seven this morning in light of the baptism today. And I'm speaking to Ryan directly, but also to every one of you this morning here. All these seven things are pertinent, and they're pertinent to your soul if you care about your soul. Number one, the first judgment. Ryan, this is true. Whether you understand it to the degree you ought to, and I doubt you do because I don't know that I do, and I've been in this way for a little over 30 years. I think I have some grasp on it. But the first judgment is this. Scripture, God's Word.
Yes, sir.
The Bible. The book. What is it? Somebody help me. 27 in the New Testament. Is it
39
in the Old? What is 66, I think, total books. I'm not going to argue about how that's that those things. First of all, Scripture is our only rule of faith and practice.
Amen.
Three things here concerning this. This is the first judgment I'm giving this morning. This is a judgment. I'm drawing a line. Yeah. I'm making a decision. I'm saying this is the way it is. If I speak the truth of God's Word, you best hear what I say. And I don't, because I'm saying it out of concern for your soul.
Yeah.
First of all, Scripture is our only rule of faith and practice. And that is both private practice and public practice. What we do when we're gathered in this building and what you do when you're in the privacy of your own home,
yeah,
it applies nonetheless.
That's right.
First of all, Scripture is perfect instruction. Perfect. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I know people quote this probably all the time in churches, religious institutions. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all Scripture, all of it. Not only every book, but every chapter, every verse, every word, every preposition.
Yes, sir.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God breathed.
Yes.
What I'm saying to you this morning is not inspired, but it best be in line with this book.
Exactly.
But what this book says, what these men wrote when they wrote it down, was inspired of God. It was God breathed into these men, and they wrote down exactly what God meant to reveal to the people they were writing to.
Exactly. That's it.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's who inspired it. It's God-breathed and is what? Profitable.
Amen.
Profitable.
Yes, sir.
Profitable what? For doctrine? That's what you believe.
Yeah.
For reproof? That's what you don't believe and you need to be corrected on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or what you believe wrongly and you need to have straightened out.
Yeah.
For reproof, for correction. There you see it.
Yeah.
For instruction in righteousness, every kind, whatever it is, whether it's imputed righteousness or whether it's a righteousness you're supposed to conduct yourself in, whatever it is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Perfect. That is complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
All of them.
Yeah.
So that includes public, private, in your where you work at,
yeah,
where you sleep at, where you play at, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Scripture is our only rule of faith and practice. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. And Lord willing, Ryan, we will get you baptized, but I'm going to preach this first. This is the first judgment that I'm presenting to you or sharing with you this morning. Proverbs 30. Before I read the two verses, I will make a statement. I will summarize. Scripture is absolute.
Yes, sir.
Scripture is absolute. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure.
Amen.
That means what? Something's pure. What is it? It's absolute. It's not mixed.
Exactly.
Has no fault. It's not too much. It's not too little.
Yep.
It's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Every word of God is pure. So much so that one of the psalmists or one of the writers of the Old Testament said, God has exalted His word even above His name.
Yes, sir.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found, what?
Yeah.
A liar.
There you go.
You go contrary to the word, you're a liar.
That's it.
I go contrary to the word, I'm a liar.
That's what it says.
That is the only rule of faith and practice. As a matter of fact, according to the Apostle Paul, back to 2 Timothy 3 again, Scripture points to Christ. Verse 15, where Paul is writing to Timothy, just before what he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration. Look what verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known what? The holy Scriptures.
Yes.
Now there are some unholy Scriptures.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about the holy Scriptures. Yeah. What is it? Those that the Jews held to when Christ came. That was the 39. I think they counted them a few different, but they counted like 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel's one book, whatever it was. But it's the same exact Scriptures.
Sir.
And the house of God, generally, I mean as a whole, not just one specific church building or specific locality, it's already been settled what the New Testament is, the Holy Scripture. It's the 27 books of the New Testament. We're not going to argue those things anymore. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What's the benefit of that? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Ryan, if you've missed Christ, your baptism today will mean nothing.
Exactly.
I'm just telling you, I'm warning you. With all the love and compassion, Mason, I can muster. And yet warning you, Ryan, and anybody else here, and warning myself, if I've missed Christ, my baptism meant nothing.
Amen.
It meant nothing. Scripture is our only rule of faith and practice. Scripture tells you how to live, how not to live. What to believe, what not to believe.
Yes, sir.
What to hold to, what not to hold to. Yeah. What to call truth and what to call untruth. No, call it a lie.
Amen.
You're an untruth teller. No, you're a liar.
That's what it is.
That's what it boils down to.
Amen.
God's house stands here.
Yeah.
This is our judgment. Yes. Not my judgment. This is the house of God's judgment. The house of God stands here. Second judgment. There is no compromising the truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Turn to 2 John. Just before the book of the Revelation, before Jude and 3 John. The second epistle of John. This is my second judgment that I present to you this morning. No compromise. There is no compromising the truth of God in Christ. And look at how John puts it. Verse 9, 2 John. Whosoever transgresseth. And then he's going to qualify the actual transgression he's talking about.
Yeah.
We all transgress.
Yeah.
We all do sin here or there.
Yeah.
Every believe, saved or unsaved. That's not the point. Whosoever transgresseth, how? And abideth not in the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
What's the result of that? Hath not God.
Amen. That's what it says.
Now, if I'm wrong about Christ, I don't have God.
That's what it says. Amen.
If you're wrong about Christ, you don't have God. The only people who have God are those who are right about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we do not debate those things. We don't argue and try to settle those things. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Now right there it is set down. But he doesn't stop there.
That's right.
If. You see that?
Yeah.
Alright, well okay. You either have it or you don't, then you just do whatever you want after that. Be with whoever you want to be after that. Keep company with whoever you want to keep company with after that. Is that what he's teaching us, Ryan? What does he say? If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, he's not talking about somebody just ignorant of the truth of God.
Right. Exactly.
He's talking here about people who profess to know God, but they don't bring his doctrine. You don't bid him into your house. You don't bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's the judgment of the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Is it not?
Yeah.
We do not associate with those who preach a perverted gospel.
That's it?
No.
That's it.
You're playing with fire if you do. You do not associate with, Scripture calls it to keep company with, you do not keep company with those who have abandoned the truth of Jesus Christ. You're playing with fire if you do.
Exactly.
It will be to your spiritual downfall. I know. I tried it. And God Almighty had to teach me that lesson, Mason, the hard way. I don't want you to have to be taught the hard way.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Exactly.
Let them go. Don't be a partaker of their evil deeds. He says just by bidding them into your house and tell it to, well, may God be with you. You're partaking of their evil deeds. There is no compromising the truth of Christ. And let me warn you. You play with them. You fellowship with them.
Yeah.
You keep company with them. You'll compromise with them. Eventually. You will compromise with them eventually. Evil communications corrupts bad manners. That's from the Scripture. You're not able to withstand it, and neither am I.
Yeah.
You know, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall.
Exactly.
And I warn you, Ryan, be careful who you associate with. I warn you. We all have to associate with people out of necessity in this world. But there's some people that you best avoid just as much as you possibly can.
Exactly.
We reject error and its supporters. We don't just reject error. We reject error and its supporters.
Exactly.
Do you see that? That's what he says here, does he not? This is the judgment of God. This is the judgment of his house. Another thing under this. No compromising the truth of Christ. Christ is our head and he is preeminent. Colossians 1 verses 18 and 19. Christ, God gave Christ to be head to the church, and he is preeminent in all things. If anybody seeks to have anything in your life, Ryan, or your life, church at Sovereign Grace, or my life, if they seek to present to you anything that would compete with Jesus Christ, you best avoid it like a plague.
Yes, sir.
I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how religious it looks. I don't care how biblical it seems. Nothing competes with Christ. He's the head.
Yes, sir.
And he has preeminence over all things.
Amen.
So therefore, when it comes to your salvation, what's the top dog in that thing? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When it comes to your walk, who's the top dog in that thing? Jesus Christ. So walk ye in him.
Amen.
Just like you've received him, Paul says, now walk ye in him.
That's it.
Christ is our head and he is preeminent. Thirdly, that is, there is no compromising the truth of Christ. You go back sometime and read Ephesians chapter 1, but specifically verses 3 through 6. Our acceptance before God is in Christ and in nothing and no one else.
Amen.
He chose us in him. He predestinated us by him.
Yeah.
He redeemed us by him. He forgave us by him. And it says we are accepted. All of those glorious blessings, and we are accepted how? In the Beloved.
Amen.
Ryan, you look to anything or anyone else other than Jesus Christ for acceptance before God, you will not be accepted of God. And I don't care what you profess today, you abandon that tomorrow, you abandon all true hope. It's just the way it is. Well, I thought you believed in once saved, always saved. It's according to what you mean by that. The elect lay hold of Jesus Christ, and they lay hold of Jesus Christ until the day they die. Because Hebrews says about all of those people who had faith, a God-given faith, these all, A-L-L, these all died in faith.
Amen.
You don't just begin in faith and then end up however you want. You begin in faith, and Ryan, you got to end in faith.
That's right.
Now, maybe there's a better way for me to say that, Mason, maybe. But that's still just true. God's house stands here. That's our judgment. That's our judgment.
Yes, sir.
Number three, third judgment. Those who obey the gospel submit to Christ's ordinance of baptism.
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 28.
Yeah.
Now remember, I said there's a whole lot more than this. But I'm just giving you these seven this morning. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach. That means to disciple, to train, to disciple. A disciple is an adherent to another's teaching, a convert to that person. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's why we do what we're going to do here today.
Yes, sir.
Because Christ said to do that right there.
Exactly.
Ryan, you profess to be a follower now of Jesus Christ, right? Then you're to be baptized. Those who obey the... Remember, it's obeying the gospel. If you're a disciple, that means you really follow it.
Exactly.
It's not just a mouth profession. It's not just a head knowledge. This is something that God Almighty has done in the soul. And if it's not, your baptism means nothing.
It
means nothing. As I've told you here before, I was dunked in water twice before I was ever baptized.
There you go. Yeah.
And we are of that group.
Yeah.
That years ago they would have called us Anabaptist.
Yes.
You know why? Because if you want to join this assembly and truly be a part of it, and you've not been baptized confessing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will expect you to be actually baptized.
Yes, sir.
You come out of Roman Catholicism, you go out to be baptized.
Amen.
You come out of false religion, you come out of free will works religion, you go out to be baptized for the first time.
Yeah, that's it.
Because look, disciples only are to be baptized, right?
That's right.
Disciples only are to be baptized.
Yeah.
Gospel obedience, that's first. And baptism is not the end game, though.
Exactly.
Look. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. All right? I'm a disciple. I believe in Him. He's done something for me. I'm baptized. Now I'll do my own thing. No? Teaching them.
Yeah.
That's the exact same people. Teaching them to observe most of what I told you.
Yeah.
No.
Quite.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. To only those.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world.
Amen.
That's the third judgment. God's house stands here.
Yes, sir.
That's our judgment. And you know, you can trace this. I know history is not the rule of faith and practice. This is.
Yes, sir.
But you can trace history. And all of these three things I've given you so far, these three things, there's always been groups of people. They've been called by different names down through time.
Yeah.
But there's always been these groups of people that stood with these judgments.
Yes, sir.
That had these judgments amongst themselves.
Yeah.
They, and they only, were the house of God.
That's right. That's it.
Here's the fourth judgment. Those who obey the gospel, remember, it's obey the gospel, not just give credence to it, not just make a mouth profession to it. Those who obey the gospel are turned from their former conduct.
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this is just so. This ain't the way it ought to be. This is the way it is.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, he says. You see it? Be not deceived.
Yeah.
Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And as I say, I constantly want to reaffirm, that's not an exhaustive list.
No.
There are other things there too.
Yes, sir.
He just, you know, if we mentioned them all, it would probably have took 15, 20 chapters. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he spent half of Romans chapter 1, Paul,
yeah.
Joe, describing some things.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me ask you, how many of you are guilty of at least one of those? I'm guilty of probably about every one of them. And if that surprises you, something probably wrong with you. You think the preacher is better than he really is. Huh? You ever been guilty of at least one? If you're guilty of one, you're excluded from the kingdom of God. Is that what that says or not?
Yeah,
that's what it says, doesn't it? Don't be deceived about it. But I'm not as bad as that one. It don't make a hoot.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't do it as many times. It don't matter. If you've done it one time, you are it. Because you did it because you were it. You don't become it because you do it. You do it because you are it. You steal because you're a blessed thief. No, an unblessed thief, I should say. You steal because you're a thief. You don't become a thief because you steal. It's got to be in here first. Before you'd never lay hold of it out here if it wasn't in here. That's a little shaking. That shakes the ground on which you stand, doesn't it? But here's the glory. And such were some of you. But notice you were that.
Amen.
Now, are you still capable of it? Well, yeah. But God says you're not that anymore.
Amen.
You see that? And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified. And look at how it says you're washed, sanctified and justified. Is there anything here that you did to make you this way?
Yeah.
Or to change you from what you were?
That's it.
No, but you're washed and you're washed. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God did something to you that made this difference.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
That's it.
Ryan, that's what you testified to me of out there on that porch. God did something to me. God's changed me. That's a sound testimony.
Yes, sir.
But it has to actually have happened that way. If you've changed yourself, you won't last.
Exactly.
You'll go right. Eventually, you'll abandon this assembly. You'll abandon the truth of Christ. You'll go right back out to where you was before. And your second state may be worse than your first state.
That's what it says.
You remember about the man that the house that our Lord said had his bunch of demons in it?
Yeah.
And the demons were gone, and the demons come back. The demons were cast out, and the demons come back. They found the house swept and garnished, but what? Empty. And they, what? Because it's empty. And they enter back into it, and the second state's worse than the first state. A false profession can be damning.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I said it can be damning. Well, that's what our Lord taught.
Yeah.
He said it, not me. I didn't bring that up. I didn't make that up. He said that. Those who obey the gospel are turned from their former conduct. We abhor it. We abhor it. Paul says, I hate it.
Yeah.
He said, sometimes I do the very things that I hate. Yeah. But nevertheless, I hate it.
Exactly.
Therein is the rub. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I must move along. Ephesians 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In other words, avoid these things.
Yes, sir.
Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. That's telling dirty jokes.
Yeah.
You know? Which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Well, don't worry about it. Just ask God to forgive you. You made your profession, you get baptized, right? Then basically you do whatever you want, and when you do whatever you want, then if you realize it was wrong, then just ask God to forgive you. They are twisting the truth of God Almighty. That's right. You might as well go to a Roman Catholic priest in that little booth and confess to him.
There you go.
No, look. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. You were. But now are ye light in the Lord. So walk that way. You know what it says? Walk as children of light.
Amen.
God's house stands here.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah. Ryan, you find yourself falling flat on your face. Yes, you cry out for forgiveness from God. Yeah.
Yeah,
do that. He says if we confess our sins, and that's the only thing you can do is just confess, acknowledge it. If you confess our sins, He does the rest. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't try to do anything to make it better. Just confess it.
Yeah.
But also abandon it.
There you go.
You find yourself falling again, confess it and run away from it.
Yes, sir.
Turn your back on it. Acknowledge it for what it really is, a crime against God.
Exactly.
Flee to Christ again, anew, afraid. Run to Him.
There you go.
Run to Him. That's the fourth judgment. God's house stands here.
Yes, sir.
That's our judgment. Fifth judgment. Those who obey the gospel, they take part with others who obey the gospel.
Sir,
that's right.
Yeah.
Now I started listing scriptures. There is one, Acts 2. It says, and the same day was added to the church. Or no. It says, and God added to the church as many as should be saved. Daily he did so. What church was? The church at Jerusalem.
Yeah. Right.
You're not added to the church universal. Either God chose you as a part of the church universal, or you're not a part of it universally.
Yeah.
But people are added to the local assembly.
Yes, sir, they are. Yeah.
But let me give you this as proof. As an example, there are 27 books in the New Testament. And I broke it all down, and I thought, no, I'm not going to take time to do all that. But let me put it to you this way. There are 27 books in the New Testament that directly reference the assembly and assembling therein.
Yes, sir.
23 of them have direct reference to it.
Yeah.
23 out of 27.
There you go.
Sounds to me like it's quite important.
Exactly.
Does it not?
Yes, sir.
Some of them even warn you, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because if you do, you're sinning willfully and you may be abandoning all hope. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
Forsaking the assembly may well be, I said it may well be, abandoning Christ.
Yeah.
23 out of 27 books directly reference the assembly. Christ said, I will build my church. And you know the only way the church is manifest on the earth?
Yeah.
Does anybody know the only way it's manifest on the earth?
Yes.
In local assemblies.
Amen. That's right.
That's the only way it's manifest on the earth. It's not manifest any other way. I challenge you to find it in the book.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right.
When God saves a person, their desire, their pining, Penny, their longing desires, I want to be with God's people. Now, maybe all of them can't because of hindering circumstances, but that's what they desire.
Exactly.
God's house stands here. That's our judgment. Christ said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. Now, they won't know it now, but one day it'll be an evidence to all of them. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you love one another.
That's what it says.
Now, according to Scripture, you don't just love one or two of the saints.
Yeah.
I've had some of you tell me here about a certain individual who's left this assembly in no uncertain terms. Well, they still talk to me about Christ. Really?
Yeah.
So they love you, but they don't love the rest of us?
There you go.
It don't work that way. You either love all the saints or you don't love one of them.
That's true.
That's just the way it is. You don't pick and choose what saints you want to love.
Yeah.
That's why we're told to be long-suffering. But to who? One another.
Exactly.
One another. You abandon the assembly. You're outside the auspices.
That's what it said.
Here's my sixth one. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Here's my sixth judgment. This is what Christ said. These are not my words. Walter, the pastor, one of the pastors at Sovereign Grace Chapel, didn't come up with this. These are Christ's words. Here's my sixth judgment that I present to you this morning. Specifically to you, Ryan, but to all of us. There is order and discipline in the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, I got something. These are Christ's words.
Yeah.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Yeah.
Deal with it personally first.
Yeah.
If he hear thee, you've gained your brother.
Yes, sir.
If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Look, but if he hear thee not, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. It don't say bring him before the church. If he's not listening to you when you've tried to talk to him or her, either one, about this matter, and they won't listen to you, it says take at least one more with you, possibly even two with you, and establish every word. And then if he don't hear you, let him alone.
There you go.
Take it to the church, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he now, and then you are to present to them in some manner, in some way, the church's decision on this. Is that not what this says?
Yeah.
And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then just pat him on the back, tell him you love him anyway. Just be as kind as you can to them, because maybe they'll come around. How long do you deal with people in their obstinacy? Three times. Three times. These are Christ's words. Three times. And on the third one, if they don't hear the church, what does it say? Let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that what Christ said? And he's talking about the church. I looked it up to make sure, Mason. It's the exact same word used throughout all the New Testament of the house of God, the church, God's people, his local assemblies. Now, the reason most people, I shouldn't say most. The reason there are some people who profess to be the people of God, but they don't want to be a part of a local assembly, because they don't want that right there.
Yeah.
They want no responsibility before anyone. I want to be my own man. I want to be my own woman. If you're in Christ, if you're a part of the house of God, you're a part of a body.
Amen.
Yeah, his body, Joe. You're right. Now, I should say his body. You're a part of his body. You are not your own man. You are not your own woman. You are not. And if you don't like that constraint and restraint, then you really have not bowed to Jesus Christ. Because he said, you take my yoke upon you and you learn of me.
Amen.
I'll become his ox, and he can put the shackles on me and do with me, Joe, as he will. And he said, you're going to be subject to the judgments of the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
There it is. Seventh judgment. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Before I read the verses, it's three or four. There's the seventh judgment. So far, we've had six. And I tell you, God's house stands here. That's our judgment.
Yes, sir.
Here's the seventh. To abandon the assembly is Antichrist.
Exactly.
That's right. I said to abandon the assembly. Yeah. To abandon it. I'm not talking about you have to get a job somewhere else and God moves you away. But I will give you fair counsel. If God does that to you, you better be looking to see if there's an assembly in that area where you could go to.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And if there's not one, you better do all within your power, if you can, to make sure you don't have to go there. I'm serious. Because it will not be the most pleasant of experiences. But be that as it may, look at it. 1 John chapter 2, I said this. Here's my seventh judgment that I'm presenting to you. Not that I come up with. I didn't come up with these. I didn't give you. Here's your seven things. And I've got a lot of experience. And here they are. Here's what you ought to do, Ryan. Everything I've given you, whether you grasp the depth of all of it or not, I've given you what this book says.
Exactly.
And I've presented to everyone here this morning what this book says. Here's the seventh judgment, I said. To abandon the assembly is Antichrist.
Exactly right.
Now look at it. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15. I got to move along. Love not the world. That's a judgment.
Yes,
is it not?
Yeah.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Yeah.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's the judgment of the house of God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Everybody's concerned about who is the Antichrist. John said almost 2,000 years ago, there's many of them already here.
Right.
Did he not?
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of millennialism you are. You deny that, you deny the truth of Scripture.
Exactly.
Even now are there many antichrists, whereby you know it is the last time. They who?
Yeah.
The antichrists. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not real great on Greek. I'm not even real great on English, yeah. But I think I get that.
Yeah.
They went out from us.
Amen.
This is not just about they doctrinally are different. They went out from us. They were a part of us at one time. They assembled with us at one time. And they left us.
Yes, sir.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
They went out from us. But they were not of us.
Yeah.
For if they had been of us, they would have continued. The no doubt is still okay. It's valid. He said they would have continued with us.
Amen.
But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us.
Amen.
Do you see what that says? You abandoned the assembly.
Yeah.
You abandoned the assembly. You know what I'm saying? You abandoned the assembly. You are Antichrist.
Amen.
This is the judgment of the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes or no?
Amen.
Yes. God's house stands here.
That's right.
That's our judgment.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it, huh? So there's all seven of them. Ryan, my desire, my hope, and my prayer for you is that not just these seven things, but all of God's Word is real to you. That God by His Word, through His Spirit, has changed you inwardly. Brought you to Christ. And has bowed you in submission to Jesus Christ. So that you will worship and follow Him. That's my desire. That's what I hope for. That's what I pray. I pray it's real. But sadly, in some folks, it hasn't been. Now, Ryan, you're kind of the unfortunate person that you made the profession, and I've just baptized four or five. They're not. You can't find them now. So you're kind of getting the brunt of what they did, and it's coming. But I want to warn each and every one of us.
Yes.
Don't play games with God. Don't suppose on God. Don't think God owes you anything.
Amen.
Don't be presumptuous.
Exactly.
Don't talk this stuff like you hear some of these people out here. I'm for sure as heaven as if I was already there.
Oh, yeah.
My surety is Christ.
Amen.
If I'm in Him, I am for sure as heaven as if I'm already there. But if I'm deceived and I ain't in Him, I will go to hell.
That's it.
And the same applies to you too.
Yes, sir.
But there are some judgments specifically sounded forth from the house of God. Is it not?
Yeah.
Is it not? Now, I'll end with this. And then, Lord willing, we'll get down here and baptize. As the house of God, if you or I, speaking to each individual here now, everybody here, as the house of God, if you are a part of the house of God as an individual, you are not independent.
That's right. That's exactly.
You're not your own man. You're not your own woman. You're not your own brother. You're not your own sister. You're not your own pastor. You're not your own apostle. You're not your own prophet. You're not your own evangelist. You're not your own leader, you're not your own guide, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. As the house of God, no individual is independent, publicly or privately, either one. What I do affects you.
Yes, sir.
What you do affects us.
Yes, sir.
And that's just, and sometimes that's a matter of shame, because you look back and you say, oh, how I've hurt God's house. Not this building, us, the people. And if you're not shamed by that, you've missed Christ.
You're right.
Yeah. As the house of God, no individual is independent. That's public or private. We are all subject to the gospel of Christ. Come hell or high water.
Amen, sir.
Whether supposed family, so-called family, blood relations, or so-called friends abandon us or not, the house of God, we will serve the Lord. And nothing and no one else.
Amen.
Pray God if that means even if I have to go to the gallows for it. Even if I have to be sawn asunder, Mason, because of it. We live such lives of ease. And I've been reading a history of the church. Two or three of them actually, but one in particular. It's amazing how that when times of ease come, thousands, I mean this is history, thousands would flock to the church and make professions. And then when the sword began to come out of hatred toward God's people, guess what? The false professions began to die down a little, don't you know? Huh? Yeah, people abandoned their profession and far fewer made right now, we got, even in our little group, I've said it to you before, I say it with sadness, I've baptized more than are even sitting here today.
Yeah, that's right.
That saddens my heart to no end, that words cannot describe it. I, not even counting Earl, I've baptized more than are sitting right here in this assembly today. That's sad. Because, listen, you say you profess something to be true, why don't you stick with it?
There you go. Exactly.
I don't, whatever it is you profess to believe,
oh, yeah.
Why ain't you sticking with it? The only answer to anybody is you don't really believe it.
Yeah.
Right? You don't really believe it. And that's just where it is. Father, bless Ryan as we go forth here. May he comprehend the gravity of this situation. But may it all be under the auspices of faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, let's do-